one more message here. I hope to get it all done today. If not, we'll finish it on next Sunday, the last Sunday of the year. But it's titled The Greatest Miracle. And this is something that you and I are living every day. Again, as I look at the Christmas story, I've said this before, I'll say it again, that I view it as not only as a one-time event, a historic event, but this is something that's ongoing in my life and in your life. And many things in the scripture are that way. This book was written in history, but yet it applies to all of eternity. And so you have those two aspects of the Word of God. You have the Logos was written in a certain place and in time, but yet it transcends space and time because it comes all the way and it has direct application to your time and my time in this place, in this life, in 2014. The Word of God has application. The Word of God has application for your life and my life. It was so profound the other day. I took a picture, wanted to send it to my children, but I was so busy I forgot all about sending it, and I'll still have to send it. But it was an image that I saw while I was reading the news, and it was the anniversary of not Kim Jong Il, we're talking about North Korea, but I believe it's Kim Jong Soon, his father, Kim Jong Il's father, Kim Jong Un's grandfather, I believe, was Kim Jong-soon, I believe. And so it's the 75th anniversary of his starting the Republic of whatever, North Korea. And so what they had was, they had a golden image, a golden statue of him. And then right next to him, they had a golden image or statue of Kim Jong-il. Two golden statues. And these golden statues, they had people at the base of the statues bowing down with their heads bowed low in North Korea today. Now, where do we know that whole image resides? In the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to build this image, and whoever, when you hear the sound of the flutes and the music, you bow down to the golden image. And you know about the whole fiery furnace and that thing. And when we read that, we think, well, you know, that's way back. That was written. That was for Daniel, and that was for that time. Beloved, I got news for you. I have a picture of it where the people are bowed low. I thought to myself, the Word of God has direct application for your life and my life today, right now. Because those people have to bow. There's a whole premier emperor cult over there. The way there was in the first century in the Roman Empire, they had imperial cults and so forth, where you would worship the leader of the nation. So this word, when we come to it, it's not just a word, well, we quickly read through the Christmas story and that's it, it's over. No. Has direct import into my life today. Father, so as we come to your word, as you spoke all things into existence, and as you uphold all things now by the word of your power, Father, I pray as we come to the book today, as we come to the word of God, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak, Lord, in the hearts of your children, Lord, that we would know in our innermost being that you have spoken to us. Lord, you're guiding us. You're leading us. So let your word come forth, I pray, into every heart, O God, by the power of your Spirit in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Luke chapter 1, because we left off in verse 38 last week. Reads, now Mary in those days... Mary in those days went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. The setting is that Mary has heard from this angel. The last words out of her mouth were, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And the reason why Mary is running now, she's departing with haste. She's anxious. She's excited all at the same time. She's running over to Judah into Elizabeth's house, is because the angel gave her a word of knowledge. And that is that Elizabeth, your cousin, your relative, is pregnant. And so Mary runs off into the hill countries of Judah and enters into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth, the scripture says. And so what we have here is a picture of the church, if you will, in between Mary and Elizabeth, because Mary is going to be with Elizabeth because what Elizabeth has going on inside of her, Mary has going on inside of her. And the reason that you and I are here together today is because you have Christ inside of you and I have Christ inside of me. And if it were not for what's inside of us, we would never know each other. Chances are, if we didn't know Christ, none of us would be here today. We wouldn't even be in another one of those lives. You see? And so we realize that Christ in us is what brings us together. And it was what God was doing in Mary and Elizabeth that brought them together. How we want for what God is doing, what we want to be around people. See, because that's what church is. Church is when those who have the indwelling Christ come together and want to be with one another. Scripture says we know that we've passed from death unto life because we what? Love the brethren. You know that you've passed from death to life when you love to be with Christians. When you love Christians. Now, that doesn't mean you don't. Can't be with unsaved people, that you even like them. But your desire is to want to be with family, okay? And that's what church is. Church attendance doesn't get us saved. Church is something I come to not because I'm paid to, not because I'm twisting my arm into it. Church, the people of God, is where I want to be because Christ in us ministers life from one member to another. And that's exactly what we know happened with Mary and Elizabeth, right? Because you remember, the next line says this, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. Let me ask you something. What's in a greeting? Because we know what the story says. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, whoo, something happened. Something went on inside of her. Let me ask you something. What do you think about when you greet someone? What do you think about when you just call someone? What do you think about when you go to someone and show up at their house or be there for your brother? Let me tell you, there's more in it than you and I would like to give recognition of. There's more in it. Really, there's more in it. I'm jumping ahead of myself to a story. I remember Moses telling me about 3 years ago, and I actually remember it happening right here when he was greeted by someone in the church. Not only was he greeted, but this person began to speak to him and began to prophesy right into his life. And Moses is sitting there standing, I'm standing up here watching it, and this person is speaking into his life and just prophesying, and I'm watching Luke chapter 2 happen right here in this church in 2011. And some people read the scripture and say, that's nice, that happened 2,000 years ago, but what does it have to do with me? Beloved, I got news for you. Come on. Come on. I was at a ballet. I was at Tori's recital on Friday night, and I started talking to a young person, an individual, and all of a sudden, while I was talking, I felt a click. I felt a switch. And what started to come out of my mouth started to come out of my spirit. And I began to speak to this individual and speak to some things about their future. And I felt it was gone. I didn't tell the person that, but I was just talking, and I felt like, uh-oh, there it went. There it went. Why? Because the same God who did it here is the same God who does it in our lives today. And you see, so when we come together, listen. Oh, I can't emphasize enough. When we go, as I'm praying and as I'm studying this word, I was so moved by it that I began to pray for right here, right today. I begin to pray over my life that, Lord, when I speak to Moses, that when I speak to Carl, when I speak to Bill, when I speak to Sherry, when I speak to Loretta, when I speak to Emmanuel or Mary or Mercy, that it would not simply be me speaking. Come on. Because when Mary, through a simple greeting, spoke to Elizabeth, it caused something in Elizabeth to leap. And God can use that. God can do that with you and I. Now, we don't think about it. We wouldn't think that God would do that. This was an ordinary day in their life. But such is an ordinary day in ours. We remember it when God takes it and makes it supernatural. But it does happen, beloved. It does happen. So, as Christians, we have Christ dwelling within us, and there's a desire to be with those who have Christ dwelling within them. Why? Because we have a miracle in common. So you actually have a miracle going on inside of you, just like Mary had a miracle going on inside of her. Elizabeth had a miracle going on inside of them. And when those two things met, when those two things came together, hallelujah. So, what happens when we speak to one another? What happens? You ever think about it? It makes you really want to choose your words carefully. Why? Because I have the potential to encourage that which God has birthed in you, or I have the potential to throw water on the fire that God has lit. That's why Zacharias, as Moses and I were talking last week, that's why God closed the mouth of Zacharias. Since you don't agree, Zacharias, since you don't believe, I'm going to shut the mouth of unbelief. And he shut Zacharias down. See? Why? Because you're going to affect what's going on in your wife. Hello? What we say has an effect on what is in another person. What we say has an effect on what is in another person, good or bad. So I'm talking to my son yesterday. We're watching the Redskins game together. And I said, Justin, Robert Griffin's playing a little, he's playing a little different today. What's going on? Justin's like, well, Dad, you know, they said he shut off. He shut off social media. He shut off Twitter. He got off of it. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Because you know what people say about you on social media? Anything they get ready to. Whatever they feel like saying. And if they think you stunk up the place, they'll tell you. And when you read it, it'll tear you up on the inside. Come on. So now, who knew that God would use the greeting of Mary, watch this, to fulfill his prophetic word to Zechariah? What are you referring to? Well, in Luke chapter 1, verse 15, the angel Gabriel said to Zacharias, your son shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. That's what Gabriel said to Zechariah. Okay, there's the prophetic utterance, the prophetic proclamation and word. Gabriel prophesies, gives the word to Zechariah. Mary comes in and says to Elizabeth, just greets her. And through her greeting, God fulfilled a prophetic word. I looked at that and said, my God, what is going on? He said, son, I can use anything. Nothing prevents me. Nothing prevents me. I can use anything in your life to be a blessing to your wife. Oh, hallelujah. I can use anything in your life to be a blessing to somebody else. Just let me. Just let me. A greeting. A greeting fulfilled the prophetic word. Hello. Sometimes all people need is a call. Sometimes all they need is your word. I tell you what. It's amazing how things just bless you. I don't know. Especially in the people of God, the people of God. So we're at a Centerville football game this of late. Centerville wins the game. And my wife and I, we're walking out of the stadium. And I look to my right, and who do I see but Rosemary and Richard and Pat and her husband, the whole family standing there, rooting on Derek, who was out in the field just tearing it up. Derek was out there playing and everything. And when I saw them, it's just like in my spirit, it just leapt, because they're the children of God. You see what I'm saying? And what's in them is what's in me. And it was just a blessing just to see them there, just that sight. And so God has made it that way, right? So now, when it, verse 41 says that it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb. Can I tell you something? Every Christian has a baby in their womb. Hello, some of you may take offense to that, but can I tell you again that every believer, listen, why did Elizabeth have a baby in her womb? Because she believed. Why was Mary carrying the child in her womb? Because she believed. When you believe, you get a baby. Every Christian has a baby. You say, whoa, great day in the morning. What am I carrying? Well, you're carrying that which is birthed by God. You're carrying that which is birthed by God. Hallelujah. Is that what the scripture says? I believe that's what it says. And so it says that when she heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leapt in her womb. And from that, we see this, that what you say will affect what's in. I cannot get past this. What I say will affect what's in Emmanuel. Do you hear me? Brothers and sisters, what you say to one another will affect what's... That makes me want to stop and meditate and plan and say, God, along with David, put a watch over my mouth. Lord, when I go to church, I want to say something that will encourage Loretta. I want to say something that's going to bless Mother Edna. I want to bring them, if my words are that powerful, and they are. And they are. I want to nourish that which God has birthed in you. I want to nourish it. Right? So the babe leapt, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So I said, historically, this is fulfillment of the angel Gabriel's prophecy. But since the babe leapt and Elizabeth was filled, either he was filled first or she was filled, or they were simultaneously filled by the Holy Spirit. Again, we see that the scripture, the prophecy said, as we see God doing what he does, that, you know, God often goes beyond what he declares by way of goodness and benevolence. The prophecy said that John would be filled from his mother's womb, but not only was John filled, Elizabeth was filled. When you study God's ways, you will find out that he is good. I mean, he's abounding in goodness. He caused your cup to run over. Listen, John got so filled that his cup filled, spread out, and hit on Elizabeth, and Elizabeth got filled. Right? The Holy Spirit who had birthed Jesus in Mary, when Mary greeted Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth and Jonathan so that they were both filled. The Spirit of God works when saints come together. That's what this is telling us. When saints come together, the Spirit of God works. The Spirit of God is at work, which means he's at work right now. Right now. Which means before I come to church. You know, Paul said this. He said, desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But he said, above all, desire that you would prophesy. 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 And when you prophesy, you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. You know who that person was in this church I was talking about was Blessed Moses? He does it all the time. He'd be speaking to people and he'd just go off into the prophetic. This brother over here. This brother right here. He just launched out into the prophetic. And what he said was just blessing and blessing. Did it with Josh. God's already fulfilled that prophetic word. Just launched off into the prophetic. Let God use the words that he's given you. Why? Because knowing, especially when you know this, that God has birthed something in Tory. He's birthed something in Claudia. Come on. He's birthed something in them, and he wants it to grow. And nourishing words cause things to grow. Listen, and this hit me as I was studying this. When I come to church, let me tell you what you don't need. You don't need my opinion. Hey!
Hallelujah. I'll preach it to myself at home. It's coming to me, beloved.
Straightening me out. I'm telling you. Forget preaching here. It had to come to the preacher first. And I'm standing there and I'm looking at this and it says, boy, son, no one in church needs your opinion. Do you know what they need? I said, yes, Lord. They need to hear my word. They need to hear. What is prophecy? Prophecy is very simple. It's saying what God says when he says it. Period. Very simple. So he said, I would that seek after love, desire spiritual gifts, but chiefly that you may prophesy. Why? Because prophecy edifies and builds up, strengthens and encourages believers. Beloved, we need to prophesy. When's the last time you said, Lord, help me to prophesy? Help me to prophesy. So we minister to one another through the power of the Holy Spirit. When that which God has birthed in you is moved by what is in someone else, you know that God is at work. When that which is birthed in you, which God has birthed in you, is moved by what is in someone else, you know that God is at work. That's what happened between Mary and Elizabeth. We see this in the Old Testament story of Jonathan and David. I love this story because you'll remember in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, chapter 17, David goes and he defeats Goliath. And afterward, Saul looks and says, he looks to his armor bearer. He says, whose young lad is this? And he tells him, you know, son of Jesse. He says, go find out who he is. Bring him to me. And so he goes and he brings David to King Saul. And King Saul wants him to be with him for the, in his entourage and so forth. And 1 Samuel 18:1 says this, when David got finished talking with Saul, that the heart of Jonathan was knit to the heart of David. And he loved him as his own soul. He loved him as his own soul. Now the question is, why? Well, I mean, when you read that, you say, okay, why? Jonathan is looking at it and, you know, the whole LGBT community points to this story and says, see, homosexuality is in the Bible because Jonathan and David, they loved each other and he loved him more. You know, the Bible says about David that his love for Jonathan exceeded the love for women. And they point to all that. Just shows that you can twist the scripture, say anything that you want to say. But no, what's going on in the passage of scripture, what you see is the reason why the heart of Jonathan was knit to David was because what was in Jonathan was also in David. Listen, when you see someone with something in them and the same thing is in you, there's an immediate identification. There's a closeness. You feel it. You feel the fire. You feel the passion. You have the same thing. When y'all get together, there's an ignition. You sense it. And when Jonathan saw David, even though Jonathan was much older than David, when he saw him, he saw a reflection of himself. He saw something. Why do I say that? Because you remember that David killed the giant, Goliath, who was a Philistine. But long before David came along, Jonathan was out killing Philistines. You see this? He had a passion to see the children of Israel delivered. Before God wrought the miracle of David killing Goliath, God was working miracles with Jonathan to overcome the Philistines. Before David rescued Saul by advancing toward Goliath, Jonathan rescued Saul when he advanced toward the garrison of the Philistines. Before David, by faith, proclaimed to Goliath that the Lord would deliver your, he said he's going to give me your head this day. He's going to take your head off of you. Before David had said that, Jonathan was out with his armor bearer saying this, let's go over to this garrison because nothing would strange the Lord for saving with many or with few. Jonathan said, listen, armor bearer, God don't need many to get this done. All he needs is a few. Let's go. And that's what Jonathan was doing long before David came along. So when David did come along, Jonathan looked at him and said, oh, yes. I recognize what's going on in you. It's the same thing that was going on to me. And Jonathan loved him. He loved David as his own soul. And they were knit together for life. You see, this is what happened when Mary and Elizabeth got together. What God's doing in you, he's also doing in me. And beloved, that happens in the church. That happens in the church. All right, now, so God the Holy Spirit takes an ordinary greeting and uses it to work in Elizabeth. Mary didn't know it, but her greeting initiated a filling of the Spirit of God in Elizabeth. The scripture never says that Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. Thus, when she greeted Elizabeth, the effect upon Elizabeth came from the Holy Spirit, who conceived the anointed one within Mary, for she had already conceived at that point, scholars believe. So what God was doing in them and what they had in them both made these women significant. Now, I find this happening on another level on numerous occasions, especially whenever we come together and begin to testify about God's goodness. And oftentimes I've heard it said that when someone stood up to testify, I've heard another person say, you know what you said was exactly what I needed. What you said was exactly what I needed. Why? Because God, who's working in this life, is working in yours to minister and bring life and healing in your life as well. God uses what is going on in you to encourage what is going on in me. God used what was going on in Mary to encourage what was going on in Elizabeth and vice versa. You see that? So God uses, this is why we don't discount what's going on in us. Now, but what we do is we tend to focus on what's happening to us. That's what we do. When you go to, you meet someone, you say, how you doing? Well, you know. Well, let me tell you, you know, this happened and this happened and this happened. And we begin to list the things that's happening to us all the while. And when you hindsight, we say it's 2020. When you look back, and that's what the scriptures are all about. The Old Testament, when we look back at what happened to Joseph, when we look back at what happened to Joseph, we despair. But when we look at what God did with what happened to him, what God did in him, we rejoice. We rejoice. Joseph made it through unforgiveness, revenge. He had to come through all of that in order to love his brother, in order to be used of God the way he was. God took him through it all. This is why what goes on in you is so much more important than what is happening to you, for God uses it to encourage others. When I listen to people talk these days, I'm not, when I listen to what's happening to them, I know it's bad. Sometimes it's bad and it's horrific and all that, but I'm not listening to that. Even though they can just be going down the line, and but on the inside, I'm saying, okay, Holy Spirit, Lord, what are you doing? Amen. That's the key. What are you doing? This has been allowed for a purpose. God uses everything that happens to us to make us. You see that? He uses what happens to us to mold and to shape us. Because nothing that happens to you will be greater than what's happening in you. For both Mary and Elizabeth, it was miraculous birth. That was what was happening in them. So, now the scripture says Elizabeth was filled. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Rarely do we see in the New Testament individuals being filled. We'll see corporate fillings, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 13, that the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. But rarely do we see individuals being filled with the Holy Spirit, although Ephesians chapter 5:18 says for us to be filled with the Spirit. God would have us live as a Spirit-filled community. He would have us live as a Spirit-filled community. Why? Well, it's wonderful. It's wondrous. It's beyond. It's I could share so many stories. I'll share one of a lady I heard on the radio who, you know, every now and again, you'll hear people who have, I heard of this one lady, her whole family saw, they had angels literally in their home all the time. I mean, just all the time, visible angels. Had an Asian angel, had a black angel, had a Caucasian angel standing in the house, and people walked through the house, they saw the angel standing there. And it was going on for the longest time, and she was just talking so matter-of-factly about this angel just standing in the house. And it was a long time ago I heard the testimony. I can't remember all the details of it, but it was pretty profound what was going on. But another story of a lady who she was in her house around late morning, and the Holy Spirit said to her, put on a pot of spaghetti. And when you get done, take it over to your neighbor 3 or 4 doors down. And, you know, you feel something like that, and you go, hello? Nah. And you're going about your business. And the Holy Spirit said, put on a pot of spaghetti. Say, you know, the Holy Spirit is very patient. You know, he really, he told Ananias, he said, go down to a street called Straight and inquire into one house, Simon. You know, and Ananias said, they're talking, well, I don't know about this, Lord. He said, go. And so finally she puts on a pot of spaghetti, sauce and everything, makes the thing, takes it 2 doors down at a time, knocks on the door, opens up the door, and she says, here. Woman's to bust out in tears, crying and carrying on, and because she didn't have anything to eat, had guests coming over, and she was wishing that she had a pot of spaghetti with sauce and all that, and here it is. Here it is. Now, that was done because someone whom the Holy Spirit was indwelling was speaking to them, and living in community with other believers, obeyed the Holy Spirit. Now, does that happen every day, all day? No, but it's something that God does, and that we need to be available when God says it. Someone recently here in the church needed some tires. The Holy Spirit told someone else. Holy Spirit spoke to Diane about a woman all the way across here, said, you need to go minister to that woman. And she was obedient. And guess what? That woman had a great need, and God met the need and told someone, didn't know what the need was, but God revealed it. Boom, and said, there it is right there. And she got her need met. Why? Because of a spirit-filled community. Spirit-filled community. So, God wants us to live in a spirit-filled community. The results of being filled with the Spirit is that you will prophesy. We find this. Look at verse 42. After Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 42 says, then she spoke out with a loud voice. Loudness is okay, by the way. Except for 3 in the morning. No. She spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of her of your womb. And so Elizabeth begins to prophesy. Now, Elizabeth didn't know Mary was pregnant. Mary just walked through the door. Hey, Elizabeth, whoop, she's filled. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So Elizabeth starts declaring the word of God, prophesying word of knowledge, and she's just going off and begins to prophesy. Verse 43, she says, but why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Apparently, we get from this passage of Scripture that Mary has already conceived, because Elizabeth says, why is the mother of my Lord? Why is the mother of my Lord? Okay, so through the prophetic voice, we find out that Mary has already conceived. But, of course, last week we dealt with that. We said, when did Mary conceive? When she believed. And then we'll see where Elizabeth confirms the same thing to Mary. So, we see that not only did Elizabeth begin to prophesy, but Luke 1:67 says this. When Zechariah finally did open up his mouth, you know, after the 9 months, okay? It's in verse 67, Luke 1, it says this. Now his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. You know, if every time in the Scriptures the Bible says someone was filled with the Holy Spirit and sat down, we wouldn't find. There's a reason why the scripture says Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit and prophesied. Zacharias was filled with the Spirit and prophesied. Acts 19:6 says that Paul laid hands on the men. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Let me tell you what will happen when you stay full of the Holy Spirit. You will prophesy. You will. Not you may. You will. You will prophesy. Paul said to the Corinthian church, you all may prophesy. You all may. So, God uses our speech and our conversation to be a blessing to someone else. It is God's will that we edify one another through our conversation or through prophecy. It is God's will that we edify one another through what we say to one another. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially the Holy Spirit is saying this. Now listen, pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Why? Because, beloved, in this word-filled world we live in, people beat down like you wouldn't believe. The devil is making suggestions and tempting and all, it's all the time. What does a person need? They need to hear a word from the Spirit. They need to hear a life-giving word that continue to feed that which God has birthed in them. I'll never forget, I don't know if this woman was a Christian. I don't know. If God can use a donkey, don't you know that if he can open up a donkey's mouth, don't you know that God will open up an unsaved person's mouth to come and prophesy to you? And I remember one day, I was born again, I was young and everything, but I was working in Dark Drug. Anybody remember Dark Drug? Drugstore chain. I'm working in Dark Drug, and I'm on the cash register. This woman comes up. I ring her up. She looks at me and says, you can run this entire store. I thought to myself, huh? She just says that. You could run this entire store. Now, I was the receiver, which when trucks, big old trucks, had to deliver stuff, I was in back, out of sight, out of mind, you know, taking deliveries. That's what I would do. And then I would come up, run the register when they needed extra help. And but she came in and said, you can run this entire store. Now, you say, well, and I knew, now I was a brand new Christian, but I knew, I was shocked by it, number one, but I knew that came from heaven. What I didn't know was that years later, I would not just be running the store, I would be running a business. Because God prophesied through that woman. Beloved, do you have your ears open? I'm telling you that God will send people to you, and not only that, God will send you to other people to speak a word. Speak a word. Now listen, what's so powerful is about God's word is that God's word is creative. His word is creative. That's why he said to me, son, no one at church needs your opinion. They need my word. Because his word will create in you what may not even be there. It doesn't even have to be there. But when God says it, what did we say the other few weeks back? When God says it, it's done. When he says it, listen, in birth form, it may just be a baby, but it's there. It's done. In his eyes, it's done. When he says it. So, 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. You know how many people need to be comforted? You know how many people need a prophetic exhortation, a prophetic comfort? Come on, they need a word in season. They don't need my opinion. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues, but desire earnestly to prophesy. How do you do that? Well, we know that prophecy is this. It's saying what God says. You mean I just take a scripture, any old scripture? No. Say what God says when he says to say it. That's what prophecy is. Prophecy is simply being inspired by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit inspires you to say, then you move upon the inspiration. You say, will I make mistakes? Sure you will. But you'll also do the will of God. How do we do it? Remain filled with the Holy Spirit. Remain filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what Elizabeth did. Elizabeth didn't know it. I'm not sure if she knew exactly what she said, but she did say this, blessed are you among women. Why? Why are you blessed, Mary? Because blessed is the fruit of your womb. You know why, Elizabeth was blessed. You know why, back to Mary. Mary was blessed. Mary was blessed because she had the blessed one living in her, Jesus Christ. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in the blessed one, in Jesus. It's because we're in Christ, right? So Elizabeth prophesied Mary's carrying of the Messiah without prior knowledge of such. I shared with you back in 2011 how, the Lord, I often say that the Lord loves to announce births. He loves announcing, I can take you through scripture and show you this, but all kinds of births. But he loves announcing births. And so it was Melody's mother, Zelda's third child, who I was at home minding my business sleep and had a dream. And I saw Zelda come to church, big old pregnant, big old stomach, and woke up from the dream, come to church that Sunday morning. I don't know anything about Zelda. I don't know anything about her and Warren or her husband. I mean, we're friends and everything, but I don't know what's going on in that house. So I come to church. I said, Zelda, I had a dream this morning, and you were way out here. She said, Lord, can't keep nothing from you prophetic people. She says, we haven't even told anybody yet, but I'm pregnant. And I was like, oh, well, excuse me, sister. But you see, God loves announcing birth, and God will encourage, listen, what's going on inside of her. God was encouraging that with what he showed me. You see, he does that. He does that for his own purpose and for our own edification. So let's go on. Verse 44, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. The babe leapt in my womb for joy. And what we know now through scientific observation, that what a mother hears affects prenatally, right? That the baby is affected by what a mother hears. So what Elizabeth says here is scientifically correct. She says, as soon as I heard thy greeting, the baby leapt. What does that mean? The baby heard the greeting. The baby heard the greeting. But what did he really hear? The one who was in Mary. He was responding to the one she was carrying. Verse 45 says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now, I don't know if at this point Mary has sat down and told Elizabeth, angel came to me and he said this, 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 and this. But Elizabeth is prophesying. Not only does she know Mary's pregnant, but she goes on into the word of the Lord, into the word of knowledge, and says, and that which was told you. Hold on, Elizabeth, how do you know anything was told me? But Elizabeth's just going on. In the filling of the Holy Spirit, things are delineated to her. She's like reading Mary's mail. And she's saying, not only are you pregnant, not only are you carrying the Christ child, the anointed one, but what was told you is going to be a fulfillment of it. Blessed is she, the key is, who believed. Blessed is she who believed. Genesis 15 and 6 says, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. When was Abraham counted righteous? When he believed. When he believed. When were you and I justified before God? When we believed. When we believed. When did Mary conceive Jesus? When she believed. And so Elizabeth says to Mary, blessed is she who believed. for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were promised her, which were told her from the Lord. Daniel 6:23 says, now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Good things happen to us when we believe. Matthew 8:13, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. John 4 and verse 50, Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. Three verses later it says, so the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. So we see that believing brings the blessing of God. That's what happened to you and I. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. How you doing in your believing? You still believe? You still believe in Jesus? Listen, beloved, Jesus is coming back. He's preparing. He's coming back. When the Father says, now, Jesus is going to come back to receive you and I unto himself. We're living this life all for the glory of Jesus Christ. And believing him changes how you live. And so we continue to believe. Hebrews 4:3 says, for those who have believed do enter that rest. That agrees with Ezekiel 34, where the Lord said, I will cause you to lie down. When you believe God, you won't be thrashing about, trying to make things happen. Enter into his rest, because there's a rest for the people of God. And we believe him, we enter into that rest. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. When did Mary conceive? The moment she believed. Let's continue to believe all the words of Jesus. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you thanks today. Thank you that you've called us to faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that the Word of God came to us. Lord, and your Holy Spirit allowed us to hear and to be saved and to believe and to throw ourselves completely upon your grace. Father, we thank you for the cross of Jesus, the shed blood of the Passover lamb that has forever remitted our sins. We thank you for that blood, Lord, that caused all of our sins to be cast into the sea of forgetfulness. And as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us, so that we are now declared blameless, without spot, holy and pure before you in love. Father, we thank you for birthing the Holy Spirit within us, for filling our lives. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we would know a greater and deeper both experience and understanding of the filling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would not only be encouraged ourselves, but Lord, that our words, Lord, would be givers of life. Amen. That we would bring words. We would bring words of healing and words of deliverance and words of knowledge and insight, faith and hope and trust in you. Lord, that we would minister one to another. Lord, that our words would be apples of picture and apples of gold and pictures of silver. Your word, a word, a now season, in season word that would bring life to all those who hear. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, that your church will be filled this day, filled afresh and anew, Lord, to accomplish your purpose. Lord, believers everywhere, oh God, that by the power of your Spirit, oh God, we would live and move and have our being. We would have our effect in this world, that we would serve the purpose of God in this generation while we are alive now, creatures of time and space. Lord, that we would realize your purpose, Lord, for appointing us alive at this time, at this moment, for your unique purpose in history. Lord, for your unique purpose, Lord, in allowing it all. Father, I thank you for it now. Lord, that we grow in depth and in knowledge. Lord, in purpose. Lord, that your will and that your desires would be accomplished to the glory of your Son, Jesus. Bless us as we go from this place. Lord, help us to stay filled and even to grow therein all this day. Lord, in Jesus' holy name, we give you thanks for it. And everyone said amen. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you real good.